Hello and good evening from Yerushalayim HaKadosh. Welcome to the weekly share from Kali and Adav. Tonight we shall continue what we started 2 weeks ago, Megillas Tainus. We'll also make a couple corrections, fill in some certain things, just to refresh our memories. Megillas Tainus, which you should have the link for the text online, mentioned in Gemara Shabbos, in the first parak, that Hanani ben Chizkiya wrote Megillas Tainus, and it's a collection of the Yom Tov, the days that Yom Tov happened to Klal Yisrael during Bayis Sheni, and those days were declared Yom Tov, the lowest and Arbon, that you're not allowed to fast, and with Tasson, and some of them are also Behesped. We spoke about the dates when Megillah Tainus was written. The Gemara mentions Hanani ben Chizkiya, who is also referred to there in the Gemara and Shabbos in the first parak as the time when they decided the outcome of the machlokas in between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. In other words, in the days of Hanani ben Chizkiya, they declared that in 18 places Beit Shammai, the halacha was like Beit Shammai versus Beit Hillel, and they don't include another 6, which Rishonim said that the halacha was like Beit Shammai. So we're trying to figure out when Hanani ben Chizkiya was. We know from the Gemara Shabbos that Hillel was a Nasi 100 years before the Churban. So that's Hillel. That's not Beis Hillel. It's not Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel. Hillel and Shammai had Talmidim, and it's a Talmidim who argued amongst who had the big machlokes. Shammai and Hillel themselves, the Gemara says in the first parak, only argued in 3 places. So we assume that if at a minimum 25 years after that, maybe even closer to the Churban, Hanani ben Chizkiya, that's when Megillas Tainus was written. Clearly the Gemara has a whole discussion on Rosh Hashanah, whether Megillas Tainus was brought to after the Churban or not. The Gemara assumes if it was, then clearly nothing was added to Megillas Tainus after the Churban. So it's compiled shortly before the Churban, and there may have been some additions before the Churban by someone later, but the bulk of it was written then, and after the Churban there was no additions to Megillas Tainus. We are in the month of Kislev. We did something, we're going to do it again, because we have some additions to that, some corrections. The mathematical calculations did not work out last time, but Baruch Hashem figured out the problem, and I hope that this time it will work out. It is in, if you have the link to Megillas Tainus, in the month of Kislev, and the month of Kislev, it says Be'eshem Rechat Be'ei Yom HaGrizimu. The 21st day of Kislev is Yom HaGrizimu. We mentioned last time that the Gemara Yoma is the 25th of Tevez, which is actually the day that we gave this year. The Gemara Yoma can be found on the Samach Tes Omer Aleph. And the basic idea in Megillas Tainus and in the Gemara is the same, but a couple differences and important differences. Be'eshem Rechat Be'ei, I'm reading from the Megillas Tainus. The Gemara is also in Yom Adav Samach Tes Omer Aleph. Be'eshem Rechat Be'ei Yom HaGrizim. The 21st is Yom HaGrizim, the Lola Mispit. Yom Shabik Shua Kusim Es Beis Ovekenim Alexander Smokdil Nachribo. The day that the Kusim requested from Alexander the Great the right to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. The Amor that they told him, Mechor Lono Chamisha Kurim Eretz V'Har Moriah. Sell us 5 kur of land on Har Moriah, and we're going to go come back to this when we finish the story and try to understand what's going on here. But now Salam and Shimon HaTzadik granted their wish. Alexander granted the wish of the Kusim. And we'll talk about this at length when we finish reading the story. They came and notified Shimon HaTzadik, the famous Kohen Gadol, who was Mishar Knesset Gedolah, mentioned in Pirkei Avos Perek Aleph. Now also what did he do? That was Bigde Kuhuna. He wore Bigde Kuhuna, Benisatev Bigde Kuhuna, Vekira Yushalayim Imo. And the Choshev people of Yushalayim escorting him, Ve'elof Al Yotin Mechusim Bevonim, Abrichi Kuhuna Mekishim Mekvisharis. In other words, he went with a whole entourage with 1,000 people dressed in white, and the young Kohanim, Favukha Shalor Jokum with Mayhem, and torches, lit torches are lit showing the way for them. Kol alayla kulam. Halol malchim mitzadzeh. Halol malchim mitzadzeh. The Shimon HaTzadik is walking from Yerushalayim towards the coast, and Alexander is coming in the other direction to punish the Jews, and we'll soon explain why. Amar lehem, when Alexander saw the whole entourage, mi halalu? Who are these people? Amar amasaros, so the Kusim said, halalu yudim shemar debuchot. These are the Jews who rebelled against you. Kiva jugel antipatras. When he arrived at Antipatris. Antipatris is a city which was built, they wouldn't call Antipatris then, it's in the modern day Kvasaba, Rosh Hashanah area near Petah Tikva. And when he came to Antipatris, Zohar Lamchama, the sun was shining. He gave a mission, my Rish, and it was up there. Alexander met the first group from the whole entourage. Hamalahem. They said to them, Miatim. We are people from Yerushalayim, Rabbanu Lakbu Pnei Melech, and we came to greet the face of the king. Kivan Shara Alexander smoked on Shimon HaTzadik. When Alexander saw Shimon HaTzadik, Yerad Min Merkavto, he got off from his chariot, Vishtachbalo, and he bowed down. Something hard to fathom. Alexander the Great, the mighty King Alexander, who's in the midst of capturing the whole world, he gets off his chariot, bows down to Alexander. Although he told the Melech called Kamoso, Yishtachbal Yehudi, say, a great king like you is going to bow down to this Jew. Amalam, he told him, Diotno Shazan Yeroa, Shan Yerba Muhammad. It's the image of this person I see when I go to war with Natsach. And then I'm victorious. I see the image of Shimon HaTzadik before when I go to war, and that's how I am, and then I'm victorious. Amalam, Mama Basa. So Alexander said to Shimon HaTzadik, why do you come? A place that we pray for you and your kingdom that it should not be destroyed. These goyim should mislead you. The sitting lamb and you're given the base of Mikdash that we daven here for your welfare. He says, who are these people? It's these kusim who are standing here. They are in your hands. You can do to them whatever you want. Marshal them, what do they do? They made holes in the heels with plumbers in the sand, and they tied them to the tails of the horses. And they were dragging them on the thorns. Until they reached Agrizim. They plowed Hagrizim and planted Kashinim. Kashinim is a type of animal food. Just as they wanted to do to the Beis HaMikdash, and on that day that this occurred, they made a Yom Tov. Okay, so what do we have? We have the basic story here. A lot of background history is necessary to fill in what's going on. We're talking about we had the end of the Persian. We're talking about at the end of the Persian era, when Alexander the Great, in the year 333 BCE, is conquering the whole world. And it starts from Greece, and then will come down along the coast, capture Syria, Lebanon, come to Eretz Yisrael. From Eretz Yisrael, he will go to Egypt, he'll capture Egypt, then he'll return through Eretz Yisrael and head eastward to Persia and defeat the last Persian emperor. What's known scientifically as Darius the Third, and capture the Persian capital, Persepolis, and basically rule the world for a short while because he died at a young age. Who are the Kusim? So the Kusim is a long story, and we're going to make the story very short. We spoke about them numerous times. The Kusim are those people who, in the days of the first Beis HaMikdash, when the northern kingdom of the ten tribes was destroyed, the king of Ashur took the residents of the center of the country, basically the areas of Manasseh and Ephraim, emptied out the population, exiled them into the far east, some as far as Mordai, and replaced them with people he brought from Babel and Kusa, and Kusa is the region in Babel. At the beginning of the second, at first they were they converted to Judaism. That's a long story, we're not getting into that today, time does not permit. When the second Beis HaMikdash, when the Jews came back to build the second Beis HaMikdash, so that's when the major confrontation began. the major confrontation began. The Kusim are settled again in the center of the country and are trying to prevent the Jews from building the Beis HaMikdash. In the end, the Jews build Beis HaMikdash, and that's when the big split takes place. The Kusim live near Shechem, and they decide that the right mountain to worship is Har Gerizim and not Har Moriah in Yerushalayim. And they built a Mikdash to Hashem on Har Gerizim near Shechem. Archaeologically speaking, the area has been extensively excavated in the last 25 years, and remains of this Samaritan Beis HaMikdash have been found. Very impressive remains, and parts of bones from Karbanos, including close to 500,000 pieces of bones from oxen, sheep, birds, in other words, all animals that are used for Karbanos were found there, and plenty of inscriptions of people who donated stuff to this temple. The confrontation was a very fierce confrontation between the Jews and the Samaritans. They called themselves the Samaritans, and Chazal called the Kusim. It was a very fierce confrontation, and the Jews living in the north of the country, for example, who had to cross through the Kusim area to get to Yerushalayim, were unable to do so, and they had to find ways to bypass the Kusi area. Then Alexander the Great came to capture Israel, so the Kusim expressed loyalty to Alexander the Great. Shimon HaTzadik, on the other hand, was loyal to the Persian king, because he was ruling under the Persian king, and he was loyal to the Persian king, and he refused to send troops to support Alexander. And of course Alexander was upset, and we know historically that on the way back things changed dramatically. The Jews signed with Alexander, the Kusim revolted against Alexander, and Alexander punished them severely. So the part of the story that we see here is that Shimon HaTzadik was a major factor when he came to Alexander. So Alexander bowed down to him, and of course after that favored him. What's the interesting thing over here is that the Kusim came with now archaeologically speaking, the Kusi temple HaMikdash on Har Gerizim had two stages to it, one from the time of the Persian kingdom and one from the Hellenistic period. In other words, one was built before Alexander and destroyed in the time of Alexander by the Jews, as mentioned here, and then after that, when the Hellenists ruled the country, there was a time when they granted the Kusim permission to rebuild their Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash was rebuilt, and it was destroyed later by the Hashmonai King Yochanan Harkonos. The confrontation didn't end there. It continued long after their Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. And the animosity remained even in the end of the second Beis HaMikdash. The Jews who tried going through Kusi territory to serve Hashem in the Beis HaMikdash were killed by the Kusim. But that's the interesting thing that we have over here. We have over here is that the Kusim requested from Alexander the Great to sell him 5 Kurin land in Har Moriah. 5 Kurin land. So now the question is, what is the significance of the 5 Kur of land that, what is the significance of the 5 Kur of land that we have? So we're going to try to figure this out. And with the aid of the drawing board that we have over here. Okay. A little of the geometry, which we're going to use based on Chazal's geometry, where they use, instead of a 5, 3, 14, or 3, or 7, they use a concept of 3, as the Gemara says in Erevin. So what do we have over here? If we have a square, the Beis HaMikdash, we know from the Mishnah Yoma, was 500 amos by 500 amos. The blue represents the area of the Har Bayis that was sanctified 500 amos by 500 amos. If I built another square like this around it, as you see, so then the area of this is double the area of the blue square. The red square is double the area of the blue square. Now, what is the area of the blue square? 500 times 500 gives us $250,000. If that is the size of the blue square, so then the red square, which is double, is going to be 500,000 amos. That's going to be the size of the red square. Now, we make a circle around, make a circle inside the red square, and the circle, as the Gemara says in Masechta Sukkah, Tama Maruba Yesal Agu Revia. So if I have that a square is 25% more in size than a circle within it. So, if I have over here 500,000, and I take off a quarter, which means I multiply it by 0.75, I get a number of 375,000. So the circle over here needed to encircle the area of the Har HaBayis is going to contain 375,000 amos. Again, the inner one is 250,000, the inner square, the blue square. The outer one is double that, which is 500,000. If I take up a quarter for the circle, I know that the territory of the circle is 375,000 amos. So that is the size of this circle, a circle necessary to encompass a square of 500 amos. Fine. Next, the question asks for 5 kur. How much is 5 kur? So, a kur is 30 seah. And a seah, we know that the Chatzar HaMishkan, the Mishkan, was 50 amos by 100, and that is 2 seah. So in other words, a 1-day seah is 50 by 50. 50 times 50 gives us 2,500. That is the size of one seah, and the kur is 30 seah. So I have 2,500, and I multiply this by 30 times 30, and I get 75,000. They asked for 5 kur, so multiply this by 5, and lo and behold, this time it doesn't work out. 375,000 amos. So, what do we have over here? When the Kusina asked, and this is not my chat, this chat has been found in place on the Megillah Sinus, I don't remember the name, who, Abzalma Koran Shalita told me that he saw it, and this last time we had a little difficulty, and the difficulty was I was using the formula that Chazal used for figuring out the diagonals, and Chazal did not use an accurate measurement of the diagonal that Tosfos already pointed out, and Tosfos already pointed out in a few places. We use this formula, so we get exactly the figure of 375,000 square amos. So when the Kusim asked for 5 kur, it wasn't a number that was a coincidence. The 5 kur is a circle that will circle the blue square. In other words, an area on the mountain that will include the entire area of the Har HaBayis is the 5 kur. So that is the significance of this number of 5 kur in Har Moriah. So, okay, so we fixed up what we weren't able to find last time. Next, after Yom HaGrizim, we have Chanukah. The Chafei Bay Yom Chanukah, Tumanya Yom and Delovim Nisper. Chanukah is a very interesting thing because we all know the story of Chanukah, but we'll soon see that there's some additions here in Megillah Sinai that are very interesting. And part of this verse is brought in Masechta Shabbos in the beginning of the second parak. And the 25th day, 8 days of Chanukah, Delovim Nisper. They were metame, they defiled all the oils in the Hechol, and when the Chashmonaim defeated them, all they found over there was one jar of oil, that was there with the sale of the Kohen Gadol, Shelo Nitzmo. V'lo haya bo lahadlik el yomechot v'nasa bones v'dikish maniyah. It was enough for one day, and all they had was one, and it can take them 8 days to get new oil for various reasons, either until it became tar, or the distance that they had to have to bring. And the miracle happened, they were able to use it for 8 days. The next year, they were kovea 8 days. They were kovea 8 days yom tov. That is the first part of the text, which also appears in the Gemara and Shabbos and very commonly known to us. But now the Megillah sentence continues, and I think we all know the question, the famous question that the Beis Yosef asks. And the Beis Yosef asks the question. Why is the celebration of Hanukkah 8 days when they found a jar of oil that was enough for one day and burned for 8 days? That means they had an extra 7 days. So Hanukkah should be 7 days and not 8 days. That's the famous question of the Beis Yosef. There are over 100 answers to this question, including one Girsa, which is found in the Shilkos and others. The Girsa is, it was not enough to use Rabbi Yeruchim's Girsa also. Meiri, it was not enough to, if I remember correctly, it's not enough to burn for one day. And that was, it didn't even have enough for one day and burn for 8 days. But the Megillah Tanis continues here with a question. It's not simple, not clear. It's just the same question that the Beis Yosef asked or not. But this is what he asks. Umar rolled as well as Chanukah Chesyam. Velo Chanukah Shasamashuva Nizba Laosela Shivasyam. Why did they make Hanukkah 8 days when Moshe Rabbeinu did Hanukkah Sabayis in the Midbar and he did it for 7 days? Because it was Shivas Imamiluim, and on the 8th day was the inauguration. So why did they choose over here to make it 8 days while Moshe Rabbeinu did it 7 days? Shinamah says, Mepesach or Mordo Tetu Shivas Yama. It says from the Pesach or Mord, you should not go out 7 days. So, okay, why, what this piece has to do with the fact that on the seventh day of fire was Makiv, we know all 12 were Makiv, but anyway, the Chanukah that Moshe Rabbeinu did was 7. When Shlomo HaMelech inaugurated the first place of Mikdash, he also did it only for 7 days. The Chanukah was done, the inauguration of the Beis HaMikdash was done for 7 days, and the Chag was also done for 7 days. So why did they do this 8 days when Moshe Rabbeinu and Shlomo HaMelech did the inauguration for 7 days? Kind of strange question, considering the fact we just mentioned what the Nes was, and the Nes was that the oil burned for 8 days, so they celebrated those 8 days. But anyway, that's what the Megillah Tanis asks. Ela, b'nei machas yavan, nichas v'eish chashmonai v'eichol. In the days of the Hellenistic kingdom, v'eish chashmonai went into the eichol uvanus ha-mizbeach, and they rebuilt the mizbeach usadu b'sid, and they plastered it with plaster of tikkun bo klesharis. And they set up klesharis from his askmo chashyam. And it took them 8 days. The process was an 8-day process, and therefore they celebrated for 8 days. And Adam Yassin has another very seemingly strange question. And why did they go and light the candles? What do you mean, why did they light the candles? In other words, why did they light the candles in Beis HaMikdash? It's a mitzvah to light the candles in the Beis HaMikdash. Must be that he's asking the question, why did Chazal make a mitzvah to light the candles? Seemingly also a question that doesn't fit in place when we just said the whole story that there was a nace. The nace was that it burned for 8 days to commemorate the nace. But the truth of the matter is that it says that Yishon HaChes Kvon Yom Tovim, that next year they set it up as a Yom Tov. It doesn't say they set up as a Yom Tov to light candles. In other words, all they set up as a Yom Tov was as the Gemara, the Lashon of the Gemara Shamas is Baha'u Vodo, to say how to praise Hashem. It doesn't mention the fact that there's a minion to light the candles. So why it seems that it was later on, perhaps, a tekana to light the Hanukkah candles. And the question is, why all of a sudden did they do this? Perhaps that's the answer. It's not simple. Again, we'll see. It doesn't fit in so perfectly. They went in to the Heichal. They had seven spears of iron, the chippon baits, and they covered them with wood. They lit the menorah, and they lit the menorah. So, in other words, the menorah that they used in the menorah that they used in the Beis Hamikdash, there was no menorah of gold, but the Greeks had taken it, and the halacha is that the only menorah has got to be used from metal. It's got, although the Torah says that the menorah has got to be made from gold, that is l'chatchila. But if you don't have gold, you can't afford gold, you can make it from any metal. And what they did was, they had shkudim shabaz, or they had spears of iron, v'chipum ba'etz, and they covered it with wood, or ba'etz perhaps, or some form of lead. So in other words, they used a very makeshift menorah because they had nothing else, and again, when in the absence of gold, you can use any other metal. And we know that later on when they got richer, they made one probably from the choshes, and later on they made from silver, and when later on they got richer again, they can afford, they made one from gold. So in other words, it was a special thing. You know, the Megillah Sanhedrin doesn't say that they liked the Hanukkah menorah because of the names that happened with the oil. It's just because they had a special Hanukkah menorah then that they lit. And why did they decide to finish to say Hallel Shalom? By all the Yom told them there is no Hallel. All the Yom told them, Megillah Sanhedrin, you don't find any one of them that they were Masakim to say Hallel, including Purim not. And the Gemara already asked why in Purim we don't say Hallel. Elisha called Shuva, Choshak, his brother, Osalam, the Yisrael, and Magdimu, upon the Baal of Ashir, the Shrach, Vodo. In other words, all miracles that they did, they went out to war, they would pray to Hashem with Hallel, and therefore they also made the Kanah to say Hallel by Hanukkah. In other words, that had to do with the fact that by the war they said Hallel, and therefore they said Hallel here too. And then the Megillah Tainus goes on with this is Hanukkah Neir Shabbos, Mahadin Neir Ruchol Nefesh V'Nefesh. All this is we're familiar with from Masechta Shabbos. We're not going to go into now. But anyway, the Megillah Tainus has these interesting points that the 8 days is not. It should have been seven, but the Megillah Tainus doesn't say it should be seven because the jar was enough for one day, but it should be seven because that's what Moshe Rabbeinu did, and that's what Shlomo HaMelech did. And the answer is that the Ramas Asik in the Ramas Asik in the mitzvah of building the Mizbech, it took him 8 days. And therefore, they made the celebration of 8 days. Okay. Moving on to Shvat. Parakel of Shvat. There's nine in Shvat, Yom Tov, Gvor, Mishpat. The Lama Shim is a Mizah, Shabayim, Shemay, Sardis, and Vizah, Mesiyan, and Melech. Shasim, Chodek, Nakosh, Boch, Kish, Hashem, Mustak, and Olam. In other words, we had in the beginning of Kislev, we had a day that was Yom Tov when Hodges died. And here is a day that a celebration when Yanai HaMelech died. Now Yanai HaMelech, Alexander Yanai, was the king before Hodus, and he was the king who killed out the Chachamim, as the Gemara says in Masechus Kiddushin in the third parak and Masechus Brachos. And Hodus was also a king who wiped out the Chachamim, as the Gemara says in Masechus Bava Basra, in the beginning of the first parak. So there was a celebration that they did. When Yana got sick, he gathered, he locked up in jail 70 elders. And he said to the one in charge of the jail, "Imati, if I die, I will just stay in my level. Kill these Zikanim." And they won't celebrate the fact that he died because he knew that the people hated him. Instead, they'll be mourning the fact that the Chachamim were killed also. Amr Isha Tova Hoysalol Yanai Melech. Yanai HaMelech had a good wife, a tzedekus, Rishalmin Ishmo, from Tio, Shemesh. And when he died, took it about him of Yadon. And when he died, Yanai, she took off the ring from Yanai's hand. The Shofar Vesa Asum, she sent it to the head of the jail. Amalo Rabcha Bachalom, he tears him as king. She said to him that your master, the king, in the dream came and he said to let him out. He tears Vachalavatam. And she let him out, and then after that he died. Then the Megillah Sinus goes into the whole thing, which is in the second part in Masechet Sinus. Also called Akrisim Megillah Sinus, the Lord of Mishpat, the Son of Machab, and the Son of Hafanav, the Homachlokas before and after, and the fact that Divrei Torah don't need Chizuk. Divrei Sof and need Chizuk. Okay. B'chof Ches Bey, and B'chof Ches Shmat, and skip to the end of this chapter, it's not in Antiochus Malkam in Yerushalayim. Antiochus was left Yerushalayim, Meshach Meitzel Yisrael. He was causing a lot of trouble from Meitzel, Baalach, and Yerushalayim, and Ashmus Kala Yehudim. Where is Abim Chom and Tetzel Lova, Bayom El Balayla? Yisham Hashmur Yisraels, Baalach, Lova, and Nafal, and Kormo. So there was Antiochus. Now Antiochus is not just one king, the Antiochus. The bad Antiochus is known as Antiochus IV, Epiphanes, who died in the year 163 BCE. But here, when we're talking about this Antiochus, it's not talking about the death of Antiochus, but it's talking about the fact. And Antiochus that laid siege to Yerushalayim, and the Jews were not able to enter, only by night. And at one time he heard that there's trouble where he came from, and he went back, and the fact that they were saved, they were spared from Antiochus and Meriamtiv. And this is probably talking about a much later Antiochus. The Seleucid Empire was collapsing at the time, and there were all these fights in between the empire, who's going to be in control. Antiochus laid siege to Yerushalayim, if I remember correctly, this Antiochus the 7th, and he laid siege to Yerushalayim. Arrowheads from this Antiochus were found near Migdal Dodot, Jaffa Gate in Yerushalayim, and probably from that siege. He laid siege for over a year. Yerushalayim survived the siege, and when Antiochus heard that there was trouble back home, he had to leave Yerushalayim, and then the people celebrated and began. Okay, we go into the Mount of Adar. Bitmanya Batisha Ba'adar Yom Tzat Mitzvah. The 8th and the 9th of Adar is a day of celebration of rain. From Tzir Barisha Lama Tzir B'Sheni, after it's celebrated on the 8th, why is it celebrated the 9th? Arisha B'Sheni Tzir B'Sheni B'Sheni B'Sheni. One from one year and one from another year. The law follows us from the Gilas Tainus. In other words, the Megillah Tainus is in the order of the month, but the Megillah specifies that it goes in the order of the month, but it's not in chronological order. Meaning, don't think just because something appears over here first in the Megillah Tainus, it happened first, and something appears later, it happened later. That's not the case. In other words, it's set up based on the calendar of the year, but it could be that an event that is mentioned here in the month of Adar happened long before, years before, something that's mentioned in the beginning of the Megillah in the month of Nisan or something or some other time. So it's not in chronological order. So I mentioned that the 8th and the 9th were days that they got in for rain, and it could be unfortunate years that the winter season doesn't come, and by the time the month of Adar arrives and still there's no rain, and then it's pretty desperate, and then I can have rain for the summer, and the thousand, and they were granted, Hashem granted and gave rain. So once happened on the 8th, and once happened on the 9th of Adar. Okay. The train also by Yom Tuyanus on the 12th day of Adar's Yom Tuyanus, and this is also mentioned in the Gemara in the Gemara by us. Shetavsu Boaz Lulyanus as Papas Ochav Lidkia. They arrested Lulyanus and Papas' brother Lidkia. Omalan, he says, in the Amish of Hanani Mishov Azariatem, Yavor Lekechem Yatzilas Chamiyodi. If you are from the nation of Hanani Mishov Azariah, who was thrown into the fire, and Bani Bukhanach and spirit, so let your God come and save you just like he saved them. The Bani Bukhanach. They said, Hanai Mishav Azariah, they were righteous people. And Nebuchadnezzar now came out of my over all the first and Nebuchadnezzar was a proper king who was right to have an ace. About them, like Russia, I thought, you are Russia. They know all the first Nebuchadnezzar. And since you are Russia, you're not worthy of having this happening by you. And we are Chayav Misa. Remember to gain you. Have a look in this. If you don't kill us, there are a lot of Shluchim that Hashem has, Habadudim, Habarayas, Habanachashim, Habakrabim. Now, if Hashem has other ways to kill us, don't think you kill us. You're going to kill someone else, will. And if you kill us, Now, as Hashem put us in your hands so that if you kill us, Hashem will be able to punish you for what was done. Amar Rav Nachman Mishal Shabbos Ovad Diyachlo Shalomi Fratzos Mocho Begizin Ovad Bekos. So he killed them, and a while later, a messenger came from a group, came from Rome, and they smashed his skull with wooden marks. This, historically, historians do not know what this is referring to. Just because historians don't know what this is referring to doesn't mean we have a problem. But what we have to say is that we cannot pinpoint what year and what time period this is talking about. It's obviously talking about during the Roman Empire, which is after the year 63 BCE. But who is this Trajanus is a problem. So the first idea that people right away would say is the Emperor Trajan, who ruled in the year 116 before Hadrian. And he caused a lot of problems for the Jews, and he was the one, in his days, the Jews revolted, and he, in his days, the Great School of Alexandria was burned down, if I remember correctly. He caused a lot of trouble for the Jews, so you can imagine there's a big celebration on the day that he died. A couple of problems with this. Problem number one is that, according to the Sinus, this thing happened in Adar. Historically, we know that the Emperor Trajan died in the month of August. So even if we say that he was killed and he didn't die, but the month of August is a little problem because the month of August can have a match with Adar. So that's one problem, problem number one. Problem number two is that the Gemara says, and I already alluded to this before, if you hold that when the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, Batla Megillas Tainis was Batla, so then there's no way that they added new celebrations after the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. So therefore you cannot place any of the events in Megillas Tainis after the Churban Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, again, as we said, the historians are lost as to know, to understand the historical background of this story over here that is in Megillas Tainis. The first thing is Yom Nikonor. Nikonor was a general from the Hellenists, and this story happened after the story of Hanukkah. The story of Hanukkah happens in the year 162, and this the battles with the Greeks do not end then. Battle number 4 led up to the story of Hanukkah, but battle number 5, the battle of Hadassah, and number 6, both in the area north of Yerushalayim, and that was the story with Nikanor, a general, who was the whole time saying, I'm going to capture Yerushalayim, and then eventually they were able to kill him and celebrate Yom Nikanor. Later on, it mentions that on the 20th, they also were thirsty for rain again. Another story of rain, and the famous story of Choni Amaga, which is brought by us in the famous story of Choni Amaga that's brought by us in our Gemara here in Tainis, in the third parak, also appears here in Megillas Tainis. What's interesting about the story, and I'm not going to go into the whole thing because it's really short on time, what's interesting about the story is that when the rain came down so much, they went up, Yisrael went up from Yerushalayim to Habayis because of the rain. Now I'm going to ask a question I don't have an answer, but Tosfos already brings that the reason why the people went from Yerushalayim to Habayis was because Habayis had a roof on it, and therefore they were able to take shelter from the rain. Now, I don't have an answer, but knowing Yerushalayim, shelter from the rain. People can live in their houses also and have shelter from the rain. The issue was more the fact that Yerushalayim was being flooded. There was so much rain coming down that Yerushalayim was being flooded. And this, the Gemara says, and you doubt for it to stop, that a person stands in Karen Ophel over here, that's called base on the base. In other words, he stands in a high place in Yerushalayim, Karen Ophel, according to Yerushalmi, and the water reaches up to his hands already. Then you can, in other words, then it's a serious flood. So in other words, Yerushalayim was being flooded, and all the people went up to the highest point in Yerushalayim to take refuge, and the highest point in Yerushalayim was the higher banks. But the fact that it had a roof, seemingly, doesn't help people could go into the houses also and take shelter from the rain because of the roof. Unless you say that the two things are Har B'Har. In other words, it was really Yerushalayim was flooded. Why did they choose to go to Har B'Ayis? They could have gone to a higher place. And the Jewish quarter today is even a higher place. And they could have gone there. There are mountains outside Yerushalayim that are even higher than the Har B'Ayis. So the question, why did you go to Har B'Ayis? Why not go somewhere else? The same Yerushalayim, Har B'Ayis was covered. And indeed, the Rambam, based, this is we don't have it in our Tosfos, but if I remember correctly, it's based on Yerushalayim. And indeed, the Rambam, in his diagram of the Beis Hamikdash, he says that Har B'Ayis had a roof on it. The whole Har B'Ayis had a roof on it. Unlike most of the models that we see of the Har B'Ayis, where all they have is a small roof around the edge, still a thin stiff, two columns wide, the Rambam says that the whole Har B'Ayis was covered with a roof, and it's based on this Yerushalmi over here, that it's that Har B'Ayis Mekurah, and that's where the people went and took refuge from the rain, took refuge from the rain on the Har B'Ayis. Time is very short. So I wanted to go to the Mama Achon, the last chapter in the Megillah Sinus. The last chapter of Megillah Sinus is actually not part of Megillah Sinus, but somehow it got in together. The Megillah Sinus is talking about days when you're not allowed to fast, and the last chapter is talking about days when it's preferable to fast whoever could. And this is also brought, the days are known as Sinus Tzadikim, and this is also brought in Shulchan Aruch and the end of Megillah Sinus. And this the days that are days to fast. We'll just go through a few that we have points to make out. Bechor b'Nisan, Meisa b'Anam Shalom. On the first of Nisan, the sons of Aaron, none of an Aviv, died. And it comes out on Rosh Chodesh. And since it comes out on Rosh Chodesh, most person in San Francisco should not fast on Rosh Chodesh. Furthermore, I know someone who got married on Rosh Chodesh, and he asked Rabbi Yashiv if he should fast, because the chosen fasts on the day he gets married. So since it's the day on Nisan, you don't fast, but since Aleph Nisan is a tzaddikim, on the other hand, it's Rosh Chodesh. He asked Rabbi Yashiv, and Rabbi Yashiv told him not to fast. Okay. The year of the year, Meish Eli, according to Saint Bonif and Yisrael Aronabris. On the 10th of the year, Eli and two sons died, and the Aronabris, the arm was taken. This is a story in Shmuel, the battle of Eben Ezra, Shmuel Aleph, if I remember correctly, Perek Talid, the battle of Eben Ezra. Clients, I went to war against the Plishtim, and the Plishtim were victorious, and Eli, his two sons, were killed in the battlefield, and the Aron was taken by the Plishtim. And then, when the Mavasar came to the people of Shiloh to tell them what happened, Eli the father heard the story. He was an old man, he was 98, and when he heard that the Aron was taken, he fell backwards and he died on the spot. So the date given over here is the 10th of Iyar. A slight problem with this date is that we know that the Aron was taken to the Plishtim, and it says that the Aron was in the fields of the Plishtim for 7 months. And then the Plishtim decided to send it back. And when they sent it back to the people of Beit Shemesh, the people of Beit Shemesh were kotek tzir chitim be'emet. The people of Beit Shemesh were reaping wheat in the valley. And if they're reaping wheat in the valley, the time for reaping wheat in Eretz Yisrael is the month of Sivan. And the month of Sivan, we go back 7 months, were way, way before, not even in the ballpark figure of Iyar. We're around the months of Tishrei. The other half of the year. So how could this be that in the mentions of the 10th of Iyar, they died when from the Pesukim it seems that it happened in the beginning of the winter? It's a very strong question. Could be that it says that Hashem punished this, the Plishtim with the Aron. We don't know how long the process took when they took the Aron to Ashdod. From Ashdod they took it to Gaza. And from Gaza they took it to Ekron. And from Ekron it stayed 7 months in the field. So we don't know how long the process took before. So it could be that that process took before a long time. Possible. We do not know. But again, as I'm just pointing out things, we don't have answers for everything. Maybe one day there's the show. The Chof Tezbo made Shmuel HaNavi the self like all Yisrael. On the 29th of Iyar, Shmuel HaNavi died. And some gives a Chof Ches. And the Kever Shmuel is known today to be right outside Yerushalayim in a place called Nebi Samuel, and right near the neighborhood of Ramot. Is that the Kever Shmuel? Well, it is very problematic, and to us, ours and others already raised questions whether or not that is the Kevah of Shmuel. Why not? Because Shmuel is buried in Ramah in Ha'afrayim, and there's no doubt that the Kevah of Shmuel is in the territory of Binyamin and not in Ephraim. So that is a big problem to us, ours already asked. One of the possibilities is that the mountain over there is not the place where Shmuel is buried, but it is the city of Mitzpah. And the place of Mitzpah is where Shmuel davened. Shmuel davened before the war with the Plishtim. And that's why we say, Slichos Aneinu, Kashem Shemis, or Shmuel Bar Mitzpah. So in other words, the sanctity of the mountain gets its name from Shmuel Anavi, but not because he's buried there, but because he davened over there. And indeed, in the book of the Maccabees, we know that when the Yehuda Maccabee went to war against the Greeks, he also davened in Mitzpah. Why? Because that was a known place of Tefillah for Klal Yisrael from the days of Shmuel Anavi. So it could be that the name Shmuel stuck on that mountain is the city of Mitzpah. We don't have time to go into the details of where Mitzpah is and where we should be looking for it, but it fits better that is the location for the city of Mitzpah. Unfortunately, when the Crusaders controlled the area, they actually shaved the high portion of the mountain. So if there was a town there, there was some pottery found from the days of the first Beis HaMikdash, but any town that existed in the first Beis HaMikdash has long been wiped out, and therefore it's impossible to really know yes or no, is this the city of Mitzpah. Okay. In Chafei Sivan, Nerag Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha, Chaneres Ganakonim. A list of the three of the ten martyrs of several Gamachos was killed, Chavzan ben Nisav, Chaneres ben Trajan. When we dive in on Yom Kippur, in Musaf, Yom Kippur, we mention El Eskara, we mention the several Gamachos, the Paita, who wrote the Piyot, makes it sound as if it all happened in one shot. But the truth of the matter is we know that that's not the case. They were killed over a long time, perhaps even 30 years apart from each other. It's all of the 10 martyrs of Saru Gemachos. So here they're given different dates, which are not so far apart, Chafei, Chav Zayin, etc. But again, as you said, it happened over a bunch of years. Gimel B'Tishrei, Gedalia ben Achikam was killed in Mitzpah, and Mitzpah, as we said, good possibility that it's worth Nevi Samuel today. In Aleph Av, Aaron HaKohen died. And this is the one date that is actually mentioned directly in Tanakh. I don't know if there's any others in the Chumash for sure or not. Mentioned a specific date of when someone died. And by Aaron HaKohen, the Pashas Master says, B'chodesh HaMushi B'echad HaKodesh. Where is he buried? He's buried in Har HaHar. And today, in Jordan, near Petra, there's a mountain called Jebel Harun. And a very high mountain, and on top of that mountain there's a monument and a matzeva, and they have a tradition that over there Aaron is buried. Truth of the matter is, when you look at the map, it's kind of difficult to accept that it's there, because Aaron, it says, they were Gvul Eretz Edom, they were the boundary of Eretz Edom, they didn't go into Eretz Edom because he didn't let him, Edom didn't let him, and at the boundary, this seems to be past the boundary, into the lands of Edom. On the other hand, already Josephus, 2,000 years ago, records that the Kevah of Aaron is over there. So it's hard to just dismiss it, saying it's wrong, because we have a very early tradition. But again, as I said, the tradition is slightly problematic. What else do we have before we finish? On Tes Teves, the Torah was written in Greek in the days of Talmai. Talmai, this is probably Talmai, according to Josephus, this is the king of Talmai Philadelphius, and he commanded the Jews to write the Torah into Greek. He had a tremendous library in Alexandria, and he took 70 Zakenim, and he put them in 70 different rooms, and he told them, I want you to translate the Torah, and they each translated the Torah the same way, and they even made the certain things they didn't want Talmai to know, so they made changes. And everyone made the same changes. And when Talmai saw that everyone came up with the same exact text, so he was very impressed, and from then on he liked the Jews. I heard in the name of Yaakov Kamenetsky, he says, it's really no big chokmah to take 70 people and put them in 70 different rooms again to say the same thing. The chokmah is to take 70 people and put them in the same room and again to say the same thing. That is a much more difficult task. Okay. The Ches B'Shvat, the Hei B'Shvat, the Tzadikim on Dez Yeshua bin Nun died. B'Zkenim, who lived in Dez Yeshua, they didn't eulogize. They did not eulogize Yeshua correctly, and they didn't live long life. And they died in the 5th of Shvat, which was last week. And there's a place near Shechem where there's a traditional monument for Kevar Elazar and Isamar and for the 70s Canaan. Yes or no, I don't know. It's a tradition probably which has Samaritan Kusi tradition to it, but that's and then the other Meshmosh Rabbeinu B'Tisha B'Av Gros V'Tanis Shenechu K'V'Sham HaSilam, the ninth of other that were Gros V'Tanis, because B'Sham HaSilam were Nechlak, they had Machlokas. And Chazal say that not just it was Machlokas, but Chazal say that Misharav V'Sham HaVihilav Tamir V'Sham HaVihilav Foshim Shekol Tzarkam, the Tamir V'Sham HaVihilav didn't pay proper attention. This is a very in-depth explanation to this Gemara, but in the Pashas they didn't learn properly from the Rabbeim, and therefore it resulted in the tremendous machlokas between Shammai and Hillel. And we'll finish with something optimistic. The regalos are to fast on Mondays and Thursdays for three reasons: al churban habayis, al torah shemitzvah, al chetas Hashem. On the churban beis hamikdash and the sefer Torah that was burned, and the bizarim of Shem Shammai. And in the future, Hashem will change these days, Mondays and Thursdays, into days of Sasson and Simcha. Shemama says, "Vafachti evu masasson v'nichamti v'simachti migun." I'll turn their transform their mourning into happiness, and I'll comfort them, and they will rejoice from their sorrow. So we hope to see this.